The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m. and 92.5 FM. Now here's your host, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best Colorado Springs gold winner. Well, good morning, radio listeners. Jay Garvin's here, your host of The Jay Garvin Show, brought to you exclusively every week. And whether you're joining me on Saturday, Sunday, or during a podcast review, I want to welcome you. My name is Jay. I'm your friend. You have stumbled across or planned to listen to or something in between, tuned into the Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, where every single week you and I share this hour together to just have a dialogue about mortgage, about finance, about real estate. And yes, we even dabble a little bit into budgeting, debt-free living, retirement, and we throw in a couple extra spices of humor, a little bit of sarcasm, a lot of opinion, and a truth. So if you've never heard my voice before, I'm your friend. I have been here for more than 10 years. Blessed to be so. This is my playground. I would do it for free. I am a licensed loan originator. Have been so since the requirement started in 2009. I've been originating loans since 1998. I always told the older folk when I was a loan originator back in like 99, I'd have a guy come up to me and say, "Sonny, my name is Chester, and I've been originating mortgages for 49 years.
Come on, man."
Actually, this guy, Doug, said, "I've been originating for 20 years, and I'm thinking, okay, Doug, you look like a really nice guy, but if you're not retired or you don't own the company after 20 years, you're either slow or you're not doing something right." And if you know my history, I retired from Fort Carson as a simple soldier, 98. Buddy of mine from college said, "I do mortgages." And I said, "You drank a lot in college, so why don't you show me your paycheck?" He showed me his 1099 and my tongue fell out of my mouth because he made nearly 30 to 40% more than I did as a captain on active duty with flight and combat pay. And he pushed paperwork and helped people finance this thing called a mortgage. And if you look up the grammatic term mortgage, it's two combination words of morta and gauge. And morta is part of like mortis, like rigor mortis, which means death. And a gauge is a grip. So basically, I've been embracing the death grip, the mortgage, for 22 years now, and I started with my buddy back in 98 part-time when I was processing out of the military, and all I wanted to do was make the same pay as I did in the Army and not have to travel to see the world 220 days a year as a Black Hawk medevac pilot and crew member, and I accomplished that. Did that for 5 years at Top Gun Mortgage, no affiliation with my piloting, with my very good buddy Jeff, the best man in my wedding. And 5 years into it, I decided I could do it a little bit better than the partners and the bosses that hired me, and I formed Garvin's Mortgage Group, which was me, a business card, and a fax machine, and did that through the Great Recession. And then in 2015, when we had built a really great team, actually, Vic was there, Ken was there, Jeff was there, Joey was there, Sean was there, Daryl was there, Belinda was there, had a really, really great team. I think Kay was there. I don't think Lena was there, but we had a great team. We transitioned over to Churchill Mortgage, most of us, in 2015. Did so for three major reasons. One, my vice president at the time, Kay, wanted to do it. Hitch our wagon to bigger train. And also number two, I was always very impressed and respectful of Dave Ramsey, who is, in my mind, the absolute king of the airwaves, especially since Rush Limbaugh passed away. There's a unique story there, but that's for another time. But then also, Churchill was a company that was partially owned by its employees, and that was my intent for Garvin's Mortgage Group, to make it a stock-owned company. I don't know why I'm running down memory lane here with you, but big things have happened for Churchill. We're still employee-owned. By the end of the year, I'll be able to tell you more details on that. And just Love to be with you. I love mortgage, but more so, I wake up every day for radio, for helping individuals. This week, I've helped some amazing individuals. Charles, who's a radio listener, we're helping him purchase. He's a disabled veteran. I would help a gentleman like that for free any single time. Margaret, I appreciate you, radio listener, just finishing her reverse mortgage. There is a lot of different individuals. One that I'm looking for right now, there's so many different individuals that we have helped. And I appreciate and love every single one of you, the radio listeners. Lori, I want to personally reach out to you because I've been put on earth to help single working professional parents, especially single professional working moms with school-aged children. Wade, I appreciate you as a listener as well. He's a single working daddy, and my wife and I are moved and called to help widows and orphans. And this radio show, you allow me to do that. In mortgage, you allow me to do it. And as long as I have a heartbeat and a breath, I will serve others in the kingdom and draw as many that I can through my personality, which sometimes helps and sometimes hurts. But you mean the most to me. So give me a call at 719-330-1457. That's 330-1457. I don't know who you are until you reach out to me. So even if you call me and just do a missed call, if you're on the road, 330-1457. You can text me. I take my calls personally. I've done that for 10 years. My team has encouraged me to do so, and I'd love to help you in any way, shape, or form, most immediately through your next purchase or refinance transaction. Radio is paid through the revenue from Churchill Mortgage, the Garvin's Group of Churchill Mortgage, and it helps me create the titles of every show. So, with a dramatic delay and a brow of sweat from my manager, my radio producing manager, the drum roll, Matt. Today's show is titled Packed with Potential. Packed with Potential, folks. This is Short-Term Rental Part 2. See, this whole concept, the muse, the premise for this show started with an election. People that say elections don't matter, they do. I did a show called The Tennessee Two-Step after a decision I made to sell a house from Colorado through a 1031 exchange in Patty Jewett and buy a house in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, right outside of Knoxville.
10 minutes from Dollywood.
Oh, there's a little Dollywood tune there. Gotta love that one. But what I did is I traded a traditional rental for a short-term rental. And thus, Jay started my first class in the university of STR. That's not sexually transmitted.
Oh, no, he
whatever.
Didn't.
That is short-term rental, folks. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. Part two is this. I'm going to review some of the ordinances that we have in the city. I'm going to talk about what a short-term rental compares to a long-term rental, a traditional. But more importantly, I'm going to tell you about the upside, the potential to double your money from an existing traditional rental. During this entire show, we'll go through it line by line. Don't go anywhere. I've got a special guest, Justin Hermes, coming right after the break from Real Estate Realities to have the conversation. Call me at 330-1457 to start your next purchase or refinance transaction.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., and 92.5 FM. We're back with your home mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Aero Moving and Storage.
Check it out. Sleep with your back until you love more. It's all that we've learned about happiness.
Well, welcome back, radio and podcast listeners. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Today, we're talking about short-term rentals, part two of this series called Packed with Potential. My name is Jay. I'm your host. I'm going to have Justin Hermes in the studio here in a minute or two, but I want to explain to you what we're talking about today. Now, you can call me directly at 330-1457, 330-1457. You can also go to churchillcolorado.com. The key here, folks, is to search for Jay Garvin's, the Jay Garvin's team. We're right here in downtown Colorado Springs. Churchill's a big company. We're growing. There's a lot of different call centers we have around the country that can help you that are licensed in Colorado. But we sit with you face to face. We live in the same neighborhoods you do. We say the same Pikes Peak region slangs that you do. Pay the same taxes. So call me at 330-1457. I have a short-term rental in Tennessee, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, right outside of the Smoky Mountain National Park by Dollywood, by Gatlinburg, just outside of Knoxville. And I have studied this and executed this for the last 6 months now after the election. My wife and I sold a house in Patty Jewett in May, bought a new house down in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Now I got my cowboy hat, Wrangler style, and I just got my Anderson Bean cowboy boots. And that's when I started to research short-term rental. I did some reviews and some background with you on the Colorado ordinances, talked about a traditional rental versus a short-term rental. And now today, with my beloved friend Justin Hermes, we're going to talk about the potential of short-term rentals here. What's the upside? What are some of the expenses? What are some of the risks? Justin, that is the fanciest shirt I've seen you on in months.
I just got out of my pajamas for you.
Oh my God, it's like...
You're the only one I dress up for.
It's silky. Who's that couple called? What is it called? Salt and Silk? What's that conservative couple, gals? I'll think of it. But you look like the silky part of that relationship. I'm the saucy. We got silky and saucy here. Got a little bit of growth going on there. You're looking good across the board, my friend. We've had no preparation at all, so let's talk short-term rentals, man.
I'm feeling good about how I look now. I don't know.
You feel good.
You compared me to some gals and how they dress. I don't know. I'll have to look them up and see.
Metrosexual is in, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, no, he's in.
Just like houses in the metro are in. Justin's in the metro, and he's in. You and I have been traditional buy-and-hold renters and landlords forever.
Yeah, and I still believe in it. I just had a conversation with somebody this morning about it. You did the loan for him.
Patrick?
No, not Roberto. Roberto, you did the loan. He bought a family member's house, and we were talking about it, and he was asking, hey, should we look into VRBO and short-term rental? And I said, the only way that really works is if you're in a destination like Cheyenne Canyon or right close to the Broadmoor where your house is or you're downtown. I said, if you're in a Stetson Hills community like that, I said, number one, call the short-term rental downtown. With the city, you probably can't even get a permit for it because your zoning probably isn't, you know, compatible.
You have to be in R2 now. Just to review with you, here's the background on this. Number one, if you got in prior to the 26th of December 2019, they grandfathered you in even though you were in R1 and you were an actual investment property, non-occupying owner. But now since they've passed that and coming through COVID, you've got to be in an R2, R4, R6, and all of those different zones. R1, you can't have it.
Yeah, and you still have to be even R2, 500 feet away from another.
500 feet away, you're exactly right. And then in Manitou, there's actually a limited number. I think they have 81 total. There's only 8 left. Colorado Springs has no limitations, but let me tell you.
We'll get there.
Yeah, exactly.
I guarantee, because they followed Manitou on this whole thing. I bet you another year they'll be limiting it.
Yep, but you know what? Try to impede on my primary residence, city council member. Bam! Yeah. Go to town on that one, baby. You know who's
good thing
exempt.
I didn't get elected, because you'd probably be shaking me down pretty hard.
I'd shake you. But if you have a primary residence that you live in 185 days or more, Roberto can do anything he wants.
Yep. Now, that is correct. Yeah, and you have special privileges as being a military member if you're active duty and station PCS and stuff like that. There's some clauses in there.
If you PCS and if you go ahead and get it in. But here's the point. I did, and I'll lay this out again in the next segment, but I want to have a talk with you, is that when we sold the house with you on Lafayette, we made $14,000 a year. We bought it for $178,000, sold it with you for $345,000, bought a $525,000 house in Pigeon Forge, and now that Pigeon Forge house made $45,000 gross. It's a short-term rental, full-time, approved within the county and community, all of that. But after the costs of the utilities, the expenses, the furniture, and of course the taxes and insurance and the maintenance that you normally have to do and the property management, we only keep a net 20 grand of the 45 grand, but it's still more
than Lafayette.
But not much. But the upside is this. This thing only is renting like 265 days a year right now.
And you can use that other time.
I can use the other time for myself. Marlo and I are using that other time for God's Grace Foundation, where we're flying single moms with school age kids that have never taken a spring break in their entire life. And I guarantee you, for the next 10 years, every single spring break, it's going to be a mom that hasn't taken a spring break that's going to go down there for free. And it's one of our passions to use that vacant time to serve others.
Yeah. And then you have the ability to enjoy it yourself. I have a question for you, though. Do you have the LART tax that they have here? Do you pay like 11% to the county or to the city, a lodging and automobile tax that they have here, or all the short-term?
Yeah, down there it's 1%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have 11% here, which is crazy. And just like
and
the
you,
hotels.
Do you have to pull a permit down there, yearly permit fees down there?
Nope.
So big difference. I just get scared of the way our city is going and state. If you see what they did at the city council up in Denver, now you have to pull a permit to have a long-term rental in the city of Denver.
Yeah, did you just hear what Denver tried to do and the state tried to do? Telling big corporations that they now have to monitor like Big Brother who's commuting and who's carpooling?
Yeah.
They just went ballistic.
Do you have to get a hall pass too when you go to the bathroom?
I think you do up in Denver.
It's good.
Can
they
I please have a wee-wee bath? Because I'm a snowflake.
It's terrible, man. It's terrible. You go, what an infringement on people's personal property rights. You're going to tell me what I can and can't do. I mean, what happened to free enterprise? And
hey, I'm telling you, man, I just watched the whole series on Netflix, Turn, which is Washington Spies. And it seems
I saw that. I didn't see it, but I saw it.
Oh, you watched the whole thing.
It's a good one, huh?
It's pretty intense. But I think like El Paso County and Douglas County is like the last defensive line in the state, because I was talking to another individual. This isn't on the topic at all. The highest percent of individuals moving into Colorado Springs, making this the sixth most desirable place, is not out of state. The number one area from migration into Colorado Springs is Denver. Yeah, Denver. They're all coming down here.
They just need to change their mindset. And that's just fine. It's like people from California and Texas. Well, Texas not much, but California, you come here, that's okay. Change your mindset.
Yeah.
Just change it and go, hey, I don't want to be in California because the way things are run there, okay, maybe I'm going to start looking at politics a different way.
Yeah.
And same thing in Denver. Come down here.
And we're a big camp. And here's the point. This is what I want to talk to you about, because it's your generation, Justin, that invented this. I mean, short-term rental with VRBO, Airbnb, and the individual doing it, because you don't need those two entities to do it. I don't use Airbnb or VRBO down in Pigeon Forge. I use a property manager. We don't do anything through Airbnb. I'd much rather give 30% to a conservative county than the flamers and the liberals up there in the northwest of the United States.
I agree. And after your tax write-offs, it's only costing you roughly probably 20% for that management fee, because you're writing it off.
I'm writing it off.
I mean, all those things come into play when we talk about these fees and the short. Do you go down there? You travel down there for vacation? It's a write-off. That whole trip's a business.
Well, you and I, when we go down there, we'll stay in my cabin. They're probably going to be redoing the floors while we're there. But my point is that your generation introduced this and invented this as a fad. But this is not a fad. Short-term rental's here to stay. And it's because people need gig economy revenue.
I think the way you're going to do it on your personal property is great, and people should do that. I'd encourage it, because if you're not in your house and you're going on vacation, and a short-term rented is great. My only issue with it is when people buy a property on short-term rental numbers, like in the Canyon, and they're going, this is, you know, what I have to make off short-term rental numbers. I think it's an issue. I always tell people, look at it as a long-term lease. Okay, you can rent the house for $2,000 a month in the Canyon. Can you cash flow it a little bit? If you have to drop rent a little bit, do you have room? Yes. And then if you do short-term rental, great. It's icing on top. But don't buy a property on the short-term rental rates going, this is going to continue forever, because that's where I'm always a prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
And I am a full proponent of, if you're going to dip your toe in this reservoir of short-term rental at all, have the courage to do it with your primary residence, because Marlo and I first did it when we traveled to Avon over 4th of July in 2019. And I said, honey, can we try to do short-term rental? We short-term rented it for 4 days and made $1,500.
Yeah.
And because our house is in the Broadmoor. We were paying the utilities. We were paying the taxes. We were paying the expense of the house anyways, whether it was empty or not. And we created residual income.
Yeah, but what you said there is it's not like you went out and bought a short-term rental right away. So what you said is perfect. Try it out. Try it on your personal residence. Get your feet wet. I just have such an issue. It's like with people who flip homes and they watch HGTV and, oh, I should just wholesale this deal. And I'm like, have you bought an investment property before this? No, I haven't. And I'm like, well, I mean, what's going on? And flipping homes. And so the short-term rental thing, my problem is when people get way too into it, they just think it's so cool and they haven't really done their research. They don't have other rental properties and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they don't have a property manager set up. They don't have a super host. And I'll tell you, I've been doing this for 15 years with rentals, pretty serious for 10. And my anxiety, my what I call on-air pucker factor, was up there when I did my first short-term rental in Tennessee, and I was glad to give Doug and Sheila 30% of my gross because they made my gross large and they were taking care of all of my concerns and worries. And that's what you do for folks every day. What do you think is the biggest advantage of a short-term rental for folks out
there? I would say your lifestyle and ability to use it when you want to use it and being able to bless other people. Can't do it with a long-term rental.
No,
it's
you
at least
can't.
The whole time. So I think that's one of the biggest advantages, and it's a good conversation to be had. It's just, I don't like it when people jump in lightly on stuff and say, hey, my friend does short-term rental, and I'm going to get a bunch of short-term rentals. Do you have a long-term rental yet? Have you bought any investment property? No, but we're going to get a bunch of short-term rentals. Okay, well, you should probably do a little bit more due diligence. And that's the issue I have, because it's like anything else. There's so much hype around that because people talk about how much they make, and it's amazing.
You know, they
and
say how like, much they on. Make, but they don't ever tell you what they keep.
Yeah, well, it's just like interest rates. People always tell you your interest rate, and you ask them if they have a 15-year or a 30-year, and they're like, well, I tried to get a 40-year. All I could get was a 30.
Yeah, it's crazy. So in the last minute, my friend, what do you think the biggest concern is going in with no education, naively?
Well, buying a property, you're off VRBO rental rates. I mean, I see them advertised up in Summit County all the time. Here's the VRBO rental rates, and I'm like, that's great, and they're putting it out there and trying to market a property, but don't ever buy a property off short-term rental rates. Buy them off long-term because you don't know what how restrictive the government's going to get and whatnot. So I've always been that way, though. People, they just say that I prepare for the worst. And my rental numbers, I tell people, hey, you can only rent this for $1,500. And they go, we rent it for $1,800. You were wrong when you sold us this. And I'm like, well, yeah. I said, but that's always use conservative low numbers. That's my biggest advice on it.
Perfect. Well, I'm here to tell you, radio listeners, you particularly, Justin Hermes, number one agent in town in my books. I've worked with over a dozen, and I've almost hugged everybody and let them go, as we work exclusively with Justin because he can get things under contract and he'll tell you the truth. So appreciate you coming in, buddy. Until next month, have a good day.
Thanks, man.
I'll be right back after this message to continue with short-term rentals part two.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
La, 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 la. The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk. Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m. Here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m. and 92.5 FM. We're back now. Here's Jay Garvin's.
Hey, where's the beat?
It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay. Just had a segment there from Justin Hermes. It's always good for me to get a second opinion. And Justin is far more conservative on long-term rentals, investment properties, as I've been dabbling in short-term rentals. If you're just tuning in, my name is Jay, and we're talking about Packed with Potential, short-term rental investment properties part two. This is the meat of the program where I get down and dirty with you guys. I told you in Colorado Springs, there are some ordinances. You can just go to cityofcoloradosprings.org and just literally put in short-term rental. It lays out an entire list of all of the requirements, of course. The closer you get to woke progressive liberalism, the more regulation you'll get. And for some reason, Colorado Springs wants to be like Manitou and Denver, which I think is idiotic. That's one of the reasons I did the Tennessee two-step and the single rental that I own that is my short-term rental is actually in Tennessee, right outside of Pigeon Forge. Far less regulations there, far less ordinance there, far less restrictions there. There's just a lot, you know, far less permit requests and so forth. And the more rural and the more red and the more conservative you get, you don't have to go to Tennessee. Just go up to Park County or even Teller County, and it's a whole different world. But for me, I'm talking today about the short-term rentals. The general comparison from a long-term rental to a short-term rental is very, very simple. I just sold one in Patty Jewett that I was making about $14,500 a year in gross rents. My net was about $12,000, and we went ahead and purchased a short-term rental that gross is now $45,000, rents about 60% of the year, just over 225, 260 days a year, depending. I've just owned it a year, but that was a forecast put in here from last year. And then the net is just under $20,000. So we increased our revenue by about 30%, but also our expenses went up dramatically because with short-term rental, you not only have to pay for your taxes and insurance and your general maintenance, you have to pay your property manager, your super host, however you do that through Airbnb, VRBO, and a super host, or whether you do that with a long-term property manager like I do. These are investment properties that are just rented on a nightly basis. Our rent with a traditional renter was $1,475 for an 1,100 square foot house, under market but very fair. Now we're charging $200 a night down in Pigeon Forge. And some of the biggest expenses, because we make $45,000, some of the biggest expenses are the property management. You get into the Breckenridge, the Pigeon Forge, the Aspen areas where you do short-term rentals, and you're going to pay 25 to 45% property management fees minus 30%. So of that $45,000 a year, I pay $13,500 in management fees, but Doug and Sheila do a lot of things for me. They make over $1,000 a month for that cabin for themselves, but they make more than $3,000 a month for me. You also have the expenses of furnishing it. You also have the expenses of your lodging taxes locally, things like that. But for the most part, there's about a 40 to 60% potential increase right away in the shift from short-term rental to short-term rental from a long-term rental. But I wouldn't suggest you jump in the pool cold right into short-term rental. There's more moving parts. I've done traditional long-term rentals for more than 10 years. It's a tremendous residual income for Marlo and I. More than $10,000 a month we make on rentals. And now I'm trying to just take my investments and maximize them. My wife took $50,000 and bought a house for $172,000 in 2012. We just sold that. Had a 15-year mortgage, so we dramatically reduced the principal. We kept it rented all the time. We put all of the residual income that we made back into the house and back into the mortgage, and she turned $50,000 into $261,000 in 8 years. We now bought a $525,000 cabin in Pigeon Forge, which is like the redneck Coney Island or the redneck Glenwood Springs times 100 or the redneck Wisconsin Dells in Wisconsin. There's a lot of different. It's a place that 14,000 people live, but 4 million travel in and out of Dollywood, Splash World, Smoky Mountain National Forest, Gatlinburg, the Titanic Museum, Ripley's Aquarium, all of that stuff. There's just a lot of stuff. But now you look at the reality here. You and I go through this right now. First of all, why did short-term rental even come? And I shared that with Justin. It was a void that was filled, a need that came about with Airbnb in 2008, actually during the primary election of Obama in Denver. It started it in California, but they officially organized it to get additional beds where a shortage was available on a nightly basis. Short-term rental, Airbnb, they had an airbed and a breakfast with cereal and milk in the morning, and people rented out portions of their apartment. Now, specifically, people are turning entire investment properties into short-term rental, and that's what I'm talking about here. And here's the case. There's three different ways to actually pack your potential in short-term rentals. Number one, you can increase your rate of return, your ROI, return on investment. Number one thing that I'm trying to do is increase the efficiency and the desirability. See, I have this cabin down there. It's a two-bedroom, three-bath, basic three-floor cabin overlooking the Smoky Mountains. an authentic log cabin in a community with two swimming pools, a wedding chapel. It's covenanted at all of that. That automatically makes it desirable. My location made it desirable because it's like if I'm sitting here on 8th Street in KRDO Studios, I'm less than 2 traffic lights and 1 mile from downtown Colorado Springs. That's how my cabin is to Pigeon Forge Parkway, you know, the main strip. But I'm only renting it about 225, I'm predicting 245 nights a year. If I go ahead and upgrade the air conditioning, which I already did, to make it more desirable, if I go ahead and pull out some carpeting, put in some nice hardwood, and put in a clawfoot pool table with red felt slate top instead of an air hockey that's in there now, that draws families in like us, like you. I'm doing a 100-game table, Miss Pac-Man with a couple of stools. You really make the desirability increase, and then you make the efficiency of people coming in and out. And my objective is to add about 75 days a year. If I add 75 days a year, first by this desirability factor, times $200 a night, right there, I'm going to make $15,000 extra dollars a year. That's a lot of money. I mean, that's $1,500, that's almost $1,500, $1,400 a month. That's like another Social Security payment just for that. Now, the second thing I'm going to do is I'm actually going to increase or decrease the daily fee that my property manager charges individuals based on that desirability and the amenities during the hot season. May, June, July is very hot. October is exceptionally hot, and December is hot because of holidays, tree colors, and summer. But I'm also going to have them decrease the fees, maybe down to $135 a night in the off seasons of January, September. You get my drift. But the third thing that I'm going to do is I'm actually going to do a bundle and a streamline where I'm going to buy. My mentor, Billy Eberhardt, says, hey, if you're going to buy a place 75 miles or more away from where you live, you eventually want to have an immediate or an intermediate goal of buying 3 or more properties. See, I'm already by Christmas going to buy a second property down there, probably on a lake, short-term rented as well. But when I start to bundle multiple properties, I'll have a really good conversation with Sheila and Doug of my management company and say, hey, I'd like to bring you an additional 2 or 3 rentals that you guys can make money off of, but I'd like to come to an agreement of a 20% management fee or a 25% as opposed to a 30%. By doing all of those different things, 1, 2, and 3, with efficiency, desirability, my competitive pricing, my amenities, my streamline, and a bundle rate, I can take my $20,000 a year and easily turn it into $40,000 a year net income. And now I'm more than $3,000 a month with one house. So now there is no way in the world I could ever grow those numbers in a traditional rental. Now, do I still have 5 other traditional rentals? Yeah, but I have no idea where I'm going to be in 5 years from now. You're going to have to stay tuned to hear and find out about that. Now, I do know where I'm going to be in about 3 minutes, and that's back here for my final segment with you. So don't go anywhere. These messages, these partners are very important. They've all been handpicked. These are people you can count on. So don't go anywhere during the break. Call me at 330-1457 to start your next purchase or refinance transaction. And then give me a buzz, and I'll be back to wrap up this show on short-term rentals, part 2.
Still don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild. A million dead ends.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., and 92.5 FM. We're back with your home mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin.
Jay, yeah.
Thanks for sticking with me. We are into the last segment here, the Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, where I've been discussing, talking with you for the entire hour about short-term rentals. Been talking about packed with potential. Had Justin Hermes from Real Estate Reality spend 10 minutes in here giving another perspective, because his perspective is totally different than mine. I want you to call me at 719-330-1457. The first four people that call, I will give you a complimentary hour face-to-face. I charge $250 an hour, billable in 30-minute increments, and I'll give you a free hour to sit and talk to you specifically about short-term rentals, a mortgage, or becoming a new home investor, totally complimentary. Call 330-1457 or go to churchillcolorado.com. But in this wrap-up session here, I want to give you the bottom line up front. And here's the bottom line, the big takeaways. There's always risks, rewards, and detractors from new trends, but short-term rental is here to stay. So I'm telling you, please do your research and search out the potential. If I just showed you how you could make $1,500 a month with a very small upfront investment and less than 18 months to accomplish and get your retirement asset in place, that literally replaces an entire Social Security payment with one burst of effort before retirement. Number two big takeaway is retirement, which I just said means residual income. Getting that $1,000, $1,500 a month that comes in whether you're working, sleeping, or fishing, or traveling, or shopping, or visiting your grandkids. Short-term rental is a player in that investment and residual conversation. So you've got to do your research. And lastly, like any other residual retirement strategy, you have to do your research and you have to have understanding. But you also have to have a trusted partner, a guide. That's me. Call me. You can trust me. You can trust Jay Garvin's. You can trust my team. You can trust Churchill Mortgage. We have been around for almost 30 years. We're an employee-owned company, and my number is 330-1457. So some of the things I really want to focus on in this last segment, I shared with you how you can take a traditional investment property, convert it into a short-term rental depending on what community, what zoning you're in, what state you're in, what part of town you're in. But you also, without any of that, tomorrow, you literally could call me in 10 minutes at 330-1457 and say, you know what, Jay? We have a really nice house right east of the Air Force Academy. You said that I could get my primary residence registered as an Airbnb, and we would like to try it. When we do a summer vacation in August, we want to try to rent our house for 5 days. Can you help us? How do you outfit your house, your primary residence, for short-term rental? How do we make it safe? How do we understand? How do we list it? How do we prepare? I did all of that in 2019, and here is an experiment in residual income, in investment property, and in short-term rental that you can take part in with little to no upfront expense. For less than $1,000, you can Airbnb-proof your house. My wife did it 2019 with me. We rented our house 3 times in 2019 and made an extra $5,500 for our family. You can do the same. And now some people are saying, Jay, you are a blazing idiot. And I'm like, say what? I've sat down and had lunch with individuals, guys that I like.
What'd you talk about, Mr.?
That have said, there's no way in the world I'd ever Airbnb my house. And my son wants to Airbnb his house, and it's a brand new house, and that's an invasion of space, and this and this and that. And there are people that are financially secure out there saying that. There's people that are broke out there that can't pay their bills. It's just a misunderstanding. See, millennials get it. Gen Xers get it. It's called gig economy. It's called, how do you buy a $400,000 house that was just $200,000 6 years ago? You get supplemental income. Well, how the heck do you get supplemental income? Well, if you're an old fart like me, listen up. Gig economy, which used to be the guitar and the drum set, the gig at the end of the block, the bar on Fridays to make an extra $100. That's where the term gig economy comes from. All these kids that are out there driving Uber and Lyft and Uber Eats and now Airbnb and VRBO and all of those things, this is supplemental income. If you live in a house and you're going to leave your house and you take a vacation, if everything is so expensive that you can't afford it without putting on a credit card, then this is how young kids do it. Now, for my wife and I, you call me at 330-1457. We're buying a second house in Tennessee, but we're buying a second retirement primary residence. Call it the Snowbird House. And now what we're doing with our house in the Broadmoor and with our house in Knoxville, Tennessee, we are going to live in each house approximately 6 months. Now, both of these are going to be approximately $1 million houses on very nice estates. We will literally rent those houses, folks, and write this down. We will rent those houses for less than 110 days out of the 182 days, 60% of the time while we're gone, at $500 a night. When we're not in our house in Colorado, when we're not letting our friends stay there for free, we're charging $500 a night, which we've already proven that can easily be done, plus 110 nights. That's an extra 55 grand. When we're not in Pigeon Forge in Knoxville, Tennessee on the lake, we do the same thing. Another 100 days, 500, 600 bucks a night. That's another $55,000. For us, just having the privilege of living in two locations, we're paying for our utilities, our taxes, if you have mortgages, through the extra $110,000 a year of residual income for having $2 million properties in two desirable communities in two different states. If I can't rise your interest in that, you and I have no hope because you just don't see the residual picture, and that's okay. But many of you, all of you that I've spoken to do, and I passionately say I'll share it to you for free. I told you the big takeaways that this short-term rental thing is here to stay. You've got to understand it and explore it. But none of that compares to the tremendous relation, the bond, the connection I have with you. So call me at 330-1457. As I say at the end of every show, go grow and prosper. Tell someone close to you that you love them because that's all that matters in the end. Not the short-term rental, not the residual income, just your legacy and your relationships. So I appreciate you. I would do anything for you, and you are my passion in life. So call me this week, 719-330-1457, to get a question answered or to just simply start your next purchase or refinance transaction. We're right here in downtown Colorado Springs, right on Colorado and Cascade, next to the Pikes Peak Performing Arts Center. And if you have your hands on the wheels or you can't remember my number, just go to ChurchillColorado.com and look for Jay Garvin's and the Jay Garvin's team. I'm a phone call away. You've been listening to the Jay Garvin Show. Until next week, sayonara, my friends.
Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
Rap, rap.